What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hi there, everybody. Winter driving season. I know it's raining today, but just work with me, all right? It is winter. Reckless drivers are everywhere. You've seen the accidents. Last week, we got two snowflakes. There were 17 pileups. If you are injured in an auto accident, there is one attorney you need to hire. It's David Feminino. Pick up the phone right now. You can talk to David personally by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can go to that website, getdavidgetpaid.com, 855-65-CRASH, getdavidgetpaid.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right, 3 o'clock hour. We talked a lot about the Lions and their opponents this Saturday, the Commanders. And basically, look, I think the Lions are going to win, but there is a possible way that this game may not go the way that people think it's going to go. Mike, real quick before we move on.
What?
A little bit of, actually two bits of news. One, from Penn State, we just finished talking about the
name. James Franklin's fired.
No.
Damn it.
But both running backs are coming back for another season.
Great. Super. So maybe they'll complete a pass to a wide receiver next season. And what else?
And the Japanese pitcher.
Sasaki.
He has crossed the Yankees off the list.
Doesn't surprise me. So. I've crossed the Yankees off the list. Okay. All right. So, by the way, Rams have no shot to win tonight now. Did you just see Stafford?
No.
He looks 1,000. That beard is terrible. Can't win that way.
Because he's got to, you know, he had to travel. He's worried about everything going on.
Awful lot of things coming down to hairstyle here. We got gingers. We got people with bad beards.
Noticing that, right?
It's a trend.
It's all about the hairstyle with Mike.
No, listen, I'm just telling you, you can't win with a ginger. So look.
He'll die before the game.
Let's discuss this, because I'm not going to sit here and do 4 hours of Lions today when they don't play for 5 days, and they didn't play this past weekend. We just gave you an hour. You wanted Odyssey.com Rewind. I want to talk about the Red Wings. And at what point, Kenny, once again, with the suggestive hand motions, please. At what point does a new coach bump become a new coach eruption? 7 in a row, they blast the Kraken. Now, here's your problem. They're still not in the playoffs. They still have a long road to go. They are still a long shot to do it. But 7 in a row, and you go, okay, wait a minute. Who do I get to blame here? And you go, whoa, wait a minute, funny man. What do you mean? Who are you blaming for a 7-game win streak? No.
You should be happy.
I want to know who I get to blame for why it's happening, meaning... Why did Yzerman wait this long to pull the ripcord on Lalonde? But then there's the other question. Am I supposed to believe Lalonde is that bad of a coach and the players get off scot-free? Or do I get to blame the players a little bit? Think about this. How could you be that bad? And now all of a sudden you're like you ate the magic mushroom in Super Mario Brothers, or the star. The Red Wings have been playing like they got the magic star. So you start to go, well, wait a minute. Did they just kind of like quiet quit on Lalonde? So yes. I wanted to bring in our Perry Mason and have him weigh in.
You know what, Kenny, before, if I may, I'm just taking classes to be in the hockey elite. So first year. So Kenny's my professor. Be curious. but I see it as... especially in the NHL, that they hold on to coaches for so long that it is a quiet quit. Your message is no longer in the locker room. And by the time they leave, you're so happy this guy is gone that the next guy walks in there and he's not your old coach. So you're excited to come to work. You're excited to go out on the ice and you win. And I think that for the players, yeah, a lot of players. That's why you see the new coach bump all the time, because I think they hold on to coaches way too long.
And so then I get to blame Yzerman.
And that's where I think the blame goes.
Kenny's nodding his head. Okay, hold on. Now we're getting somewhere. Kenneth.
No, I think it was, I think it can be a little bit of column A, column B. But when I look at it, I'm like, all right, Steve Yzerman could have fired him in the offseason. We could have started fresh with a McClellan or anybody else that you wanted to hire. And I think what happens in the NHL specifically is GMs become very bullish on their guy. I picked this guy, and if I fire this guy, that means I was wrong. And a lot of GMs are very hesitant to do something like that because it's an admission of guilt. And I think that may have been a part of it. I also think that the players deserve a lot of this blame because, holy Christmas, have you seen the difference between what they were and what they are now?
That's why I said what I said. Why are the players getting off scot-free?
Up until the Kraken game, they have outshot everybody since McClellan came into power. Meaning, for six straight games, they were not outshot by anybody.
So how much of it is systemic?
I think a lot of it comes back to the head coach, though. I think a lot of it does. Because with Lalonde, the effort wasn't there. The offensive, the get to the front of the net wasn't there. It simply
was not. But that's where I blame the players. You are paid to play a children's game.
Right, and that's why I say column A, column B. Because A, column A, Steve, buddy. Do this during the offseason. We would be in a playoff spot right now had they done half of what they're doing now.
Yeah.
Which is not what I said.
So here's my question. What is the live update on FanDuel, odds-wise, Wings to make the playoffs? Now, last week, this was like plus 600.
Right now, it is plus 520.
So all of the winning.
Yep.
Look where they still got you. And again, that's based on the Eastern Conference being very deep. Very difficult. And unlike the NBA, which is a complete joke of a league, players actually try generally.
And they're only 2 points out of the last wild card spot, which tells you exactly what Vegas thinks of the Red Wings.
And the problem is, a team like the Rangers that's 1 point behind you, the thought process is they're too talented to end up like this. I don't know, man. But I wondered if the hockey elite wanted to participate. It's simple to me. 7-game win streak. I mean, they got a long road to go, but it leaves you the question of, why did Yzerman wait so long, and how much blame does he incur? And honestly, is it okay to be upset at the players? I mean, give me a break, Rico. Like, openly saying, not you, I'm saying, oh, we don't love our coach, so wah. And it's like now they're killing people.
Like, look at Patrick Kane, for example. This is a guy, a veteran presence in the locker room, a guy who's won everything there is to win in the NHL, right? This is a guy who you would think maybe the effort would be there for a guy like this. And then you look at a guy like Dylan Larkin, who's supposed to be your
captain,
your emotional leader, you know? And that just hasn't been around. And you change the head coach, you change the message, you change the voice, that's fine. I just don't see why it's so night and day from what it was before.
And I wanted to ask why. Could anyone in the hockey community tell us why? Why is it so different?
Yeah, I just think that it's the players tune out the coach and they just don't listen. And yes, I do think that it is.
You just described them like they're third graders. They tuned out the substitute teacher and they don't listen no more. Are you serious? And you think hardworking people are supposed to accept that?
Mike, you see it. It's not just hockey. You see it across the board where all of a sudden the interim coach comes in and the players just start playing better because.
But this? 7 in a row, essentially 10% of your schedule? Rico,
winning's contagious, man. And once you start winning, you start seeing, like, you know what? We're not that bad. We're not what we, you know what? We can do this thing. And yeah, I think Yzerman waited so long because you had the second he fired Lalonde, it was going to start the clock because you don't get to hire 3 coaches.
Well, he can hire 7.
Okay.
Hey, man, you notice he ain't going nowhere.
General managers and athletic directors don't get to hire 3 coaches.
Yeah, you do when everybody had your pajamas as a kid. You know how this town works. Bro, you know this.
No.
You have grown-ass men who wear onesies of this guy. He'll get to hire 17 coaches. Don't worry.
I don't think so. I think this is it.
Over under 11 and a half.
11 and a half coach? Oh, 11 and a half. I'm going to take the under.
248-539-9797. Let's get the hockey elite involved. And again, I'm not asking people who don't pay attention to all of a sudden pay attention. This isn't us getting on a bully pulpit saying you need to be watching this team. Hey, if you like the Red Wings and you got an opinion, I'd love to hear it. Because what we're not going to do is put on sequin shirts and talk Lions by 50 for 4 straight hours.
No?
No, I'd rather, I'd honestly, I'd just rather go play in traffic. They don't play till Saturday, Rico. What do you want from me?
Gotcha.
We just did an hour of football. Christ. David, hi. What do you got for me? Talk to me.
A lot of people are saying the Red Wings players did Yzerman's job for him, dogging it for the loan, so he would get fired.
But you
seven wins
to,
in a row.
You have to blame the players then. You don't get to not give effort. You don't get to say we don't like the new teacher, therefore I'm not going to do the homework. That wouldn't have worked in my household. My parents would have launched me out of a cannon. These guys are millionaires. Do your effing job. You mean to tell me? I mean, I'm sorry. I must have missed where Lalonde had everybody in a labor camp. It's hockey practice. The practices were 45 minutes.
No, but I don't think it's that they just tune them out. It's just you stop believing in your coach. So, therefore, the effort is not there. Is that it is with a new coach. And you're like, okay, you know what? I'm going to try a little harder. Mike, yes, it sounds bad, but it's human nature. When it's somebody that you like, you work a little harder than you do somebody that you really don't care for.
The jokes
you do
write
your
themselves.
Job.
I could make such a good joke, but it's Monday, and it's too early in the week to get in trouble.
That's just me, man.
No, it's off the air. I got something good for you. Oh, it was about another show. Oh. So listen, let's
yes, but when you you see it in sports all the time. It's a you know what? The backup QB comes in, and all of a sudden the receivers work a little harder.
The O-line starts blocking.
Right.
I can't stand it. It drives me insane.
But it's human nature, and I think that's what you're seeing with this team is, yeah, you know what? We liked him, but wow, we like this guy.
The sad part is they're still up against it because they waited so long. They waited, what was it, 36 games to pull the plug? Think about if they had just done this 5 games sooner, 7 games sooner. They waited so long.
Or just at the end of the season last year.
No, that's a dream state. I'm with you. But I'm trying to be fair. This guy could have been gone at any point.
Correct. It could have been a different path because right now we're coming from the very bottom of the East when we didn't have to. We could have been in that rotator of now we're the AFC, now we're the second wild card. Instead, we have to fight.
But see, gentlemen, and I think that's where Steve Yzerman walked over to the glass and said, I got to break this. All right. You're fired. Let's do it over the holiday.
The problem I have is when general managers, and I don't care if it's in this town, somewhere else, Yzerman or not, you have to be proactive, not reactive. I get so sick of everything in this town being reactive.
Because nobody likes to be wrong.
Well, too bad. You paid too much money to have that type of ego.
Understand,
but
that's
the job.
But that's how you got your ego. It's the trust me. I know what I'm doing.
No, you got the ego because grown men walk around bricked up because you are the GM.
And you know what? And this could be, maybe I'm out in left field. I think also he was allowed a little extra time because the Lions got good and the focus was more on them than on the Wings.
How effing pathetic. I mean, that you know what that is? If that's the case, that is the Corey Ballantyne of sports opinions, a.k.a. the guy Dallas Goedert punched 3 times in the face on his way to the end zone yesterday. You've got to be kidding me. Oh, the Lions are running cover for us?
It took a little bit of pressure off of him.
Sweet Jesus.
Okay, honestly,
I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the situation.
Right, it's like nobody was upset about the Pistons. Why? Because the Lions were winning. The Lions were winning, and it covered everything.
This is because most people don't even know the Pistons exist.
I get what you're saying.
I know.
But it did. Yes, they did run a little bit of cover for them.
Listen, 7-game win streak is something else now. I mean, I'm not asking them to keep that going. But if they can somehow, in totality, stay hot, whatever your definition of hot is, stay hot through January. Give us 2 more weeks of just being hot as a firecracker. You're going to lose a game.
That's a winning record. Yeah.
But just keep it going because then you get a little bit of a reset where you're like, all right, we got a 12-game stretch, we went 10-2. We got a 15-game stretch, we went 12-3. All of a sudden now you're outpacing you vomiting all over yourself the first 3 months of the year. But I couldn't help it. You check the scores and you're like, wow, they did it again. Mm-hmm. Wow, 4 goals on 6 shots. Why did they wait so long? The hockey elite have assembled. Look at this. I'm proud of these people.
See?
This is exciting. Come on. It's also proof different works.
Take him to church.
Sit here talking about a game that's not till Saturday.
Jaden Daniels.
Right. And fall asleep. We'll get to it. 248-539-9797.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
All right, so we wanted to bring up the Pistons, and last night is one of the better wins in maybe the last 5-6 years for the Pistons. You know, you're in New York. The Knicks are a legitimate team. You fall behind. You don't have a good first half. Cade didn't have a good first half, and then he rallies. Drops, I think, 18 in the third, 36 on the night, closes it out. Pistons are 21-19. Now, I have two questions for Rico and you guys, and you can respond to either, both, or most likely neither. I know what I'm up against here with the NBA in this town. But that's where I wanted to start on this. I have an actual topic, but I think the biggest problem with doing, hey, what's it going to take for you to get excited about the Pistons? It has nothing to do with the Pistons. See, the Pistons are doing everything the league doesn't do, Rico. They're actually trying, right? They play hard.
Yeah.
They guard. They care. The NBA, look, I'm an NBA fan. I am league pass guy. I mean, Rico, I've never been more detached from the NBA. The product is abysmal. I think on the whole, you have a lot. I'm not going to paint with too broad a brush. You have a lot of players that are completely unlikable. The idea that we don't know who's playing on any given night, or even if they are they playing? It's not the Pistons' fault. But I think it is their problem, is that if we want to get people interested in this town, I'm asking them to watch a product that by and large is awful. because I myself can't lie to my listeners. I've watched less NBA this year than any year of my life. It's atrocious.
It is.
So that was one, and I wanted to know if you were at least okay with me saying that.
I'm okay. I'm okay with you saying that because, I mean, man, when NBA players value being on podcasts more than actually playing on the court, that's a problem. Now, a caveat to that is, here's why you should be interested in the Pistons. Before you get to the second thing, is that Detroit used to be a guaranteed load management spot.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
not like, so much.
Yeah, now when star players come to town, they're playing because they just can't walk in and beat the Pistons. They actually have to go out there and put forth effort. This isn't one of those, oh, we could just take the night off type of nights.
So the question is this. We are 3 weeks away from the NBA trade deadline. They're 21-19, and I weigh these two factors. 5 years of being completely awful, non-functioning. 12 games of being hot as a firecracker. And I only say it because I know what I want to do, but I want to know if I'm jumping the gun. And people can call me out on this. You can call me out, or maybe people will agree. We talked about this after a horrible opening 10 days for Cade, especially in the fourth quarter. He couldn't score. Mm-hmm. He couldn't close. They blew some games. He's blossomed into the guy that David prayed, literally, to bring to town. I want to make a move. I want the Pistons to be buyers, and not in a Blake Griffin way. Not with some Rudy Pooh, one-legged, 35-year-old. No. I want to get Cade a Robin. I want to get Batman a Robin. And that's going to take something seismic. Now, I want to know if I'm irresponsible with that. Listen, they need more floor spacing. They need more shot creation. They do. The names that are out there, I will give you some because I don't think it's good enough to come on the air and go, they got to make a trade. And then you're like, well, for who? I don't know. That's not, you're not a radio host at that point. You're a whoopee cushion.
I don't want to be wrong.
Right.
They don't have to do an opening segment when they apologize. Go ahead.
You never have to. And look, I've done as much research as you can do, and I can give you some names. But I wanted to know on principle before we get into the names. Do you think the Pistons should be a buyer? Because I do. Mm-hmm. And I said this, and Lord knows. I mean, if you say anything that's anything other than euphoric praise about a local team, Cookies gets upset. This happened on the pod today. And I said, oh, they're going to make the playoffs because, frankly, they're trying and no one below them is. Well, why can't it be? Because they're good. Well, they're not. They're just better than this crap and they actually care about life. Truthfully, mm-hmm. The Nets, the Hornets, the Wizards, the Bulls, all these teams blow.
Right. There's a difference between making the playoffs and a team that's trying to win a championship.
That's correct. My point is the Pistons are trying. That's their advantage. I want to know if you want them to be buyers. And I can give you some names. And look, the name I want is not going to be available to the offseason. David did a great job of digging into the CBA and the contract. The player I want, it sounds like, according to what David researched, he won't be available to the offseason. Lauri Markkanen. Stretch four, young, signed, god-awful situation. Boy, would he look good in the pick and roll here, the pick and pop. Wouldn't he look good? It would be beautiful. But what if I could get you a facsimile of that? And it's a player I wanted them to sign 2 years ago, and they didn't do it. Player like Cam Johnson for the Nets could be on the move, shooting 40% from deep, averaging 20 a night. He's that stretch four. He plays defense. He's a team guy. I don't think
you got to break the bank for him either.
Well, the Nets are making a sizable ask. It doesn't mean they're going to get it, but all things are, they want multiple firsts. Well, you can want whatever you want. It doesn't mean you're getting it. The Zach LaVine thing is out there. Now, again, I don't like Zach LaVine. Is he having a good year? Admittedly, yes, he is. Averaging 25 a night, shooting 45% from deep on almost 8 attempts a night. The problem is a lot of that's empty filler in non-competitive games. And he's still Zach LaVine. And his knee is still a plate of fettuccine. And he signed through, I believe, with the player option, 2026-27. So, couple of names for you.
Not the name I thought you were going to say. Because I
have one more.
Oh, okay.
Do you want me to see if I can trip up?
Yeah.
Let me see if I fall into Rico's trap. The other name you will hear a lot about is Brandon Ingram.
No.
Okay.
So teammate of his.
Oh, no. You're thinking the Zion stuff? No.
But see, you're better than that now. Because you don't need to get a name to sell tickets.
I don't want
to get people in the seats.
Not serious about basketball.
Exactly.
And Zion has burnt through all equity. Look, the team might release him in the offseason. That's something you're reading about, hearing about in NBA circles, is they can get out of that contract and they may just do that. And look, if they trade BI, well, that's part of it. Now, look, Ingram available. Now, I know we just talked about Zion. Availability is a skill. Brandon Ingram doesn't have it. Brandon Ingram is hurt all the time. Mm-hmm. But is he 6'10"? Yes. Is he the athletic wing they lack? Yes. Is he a shot creator? Yes. Don't love it. Remember, guys, perfect players rarely get traded. All right? So I'm sorry I can't bring you Shaq in his prime. But I wanted to ask the question. I understand if you call up and you go, Mike, Rico, you guys are overreacting. It's 10-2. It's a 12-game stretch. What if a week from now they lose four in a row? Guys, all I can say is, you don't have as much time as you think you do. And with a guy like Cade, who is signed, right, we're about to start his true prime. He needs someone you don't possess. You know, Jaden Ivey's gone. And frankly, the way Cade plays without him, I'm more comfortable with than the way he plays with him. Mm-hmm. So I want to get him as Robin. Now, you go, well, what do you think they can accomplish if they do this? Like, if they got Cam Johnson, or if they got Zach LaVine, could they threaten and or win a playoff series? Possibly. Yes. If you don't, you're cannon fodder. Now, that doesn't mean you make a deal for that purpose alone. But it's like, okay, what are we going to do to get tangibly better now that we're too good to use our picks?
Right.
And we have what we have. So I wanted to ask you, I wanted to ask the people, A, is it possible for you to get excited about this knowing, look, the NBA's never been worse.
Yeah.
It's bad. And is it wrong that I think it might be time to do a little buying?
No.
A little shopping.
I agree with you on both. I do think that I look at this team, and I had the pre-show call with David. And for me, a week ago or 2 weeks ago, man, I'm just apologizing across the board. David was actually right. David was actually correct. He said the play-in game is not good enough. And right now I'm looking at how this team is playing and what you're saying, they're trying and other teams aren't. No, I expect you to be in the top six. I expect you to be play-in game exempt. And that's not, I don't think that's asking too much of this current team. Can you get to about 42 to 44 wins? And that may put you in that sixth spot where you're not in the play-in games.
Do this for yourself. And people, if you're out there, no, not if you're driving, but if you're bored at your cubicle or dropping a grumpy or whatever you're doing with your day.
The win-loss game?
No. Oh. No. Just look at the East.
Well,
and I want you to count how many real teams are there. How many teams are trying? And then count backwards from where they currently are. And can you even find teams that are trying? Now, look. Let me say this, and I'll make it very clear. I don't want anyone to feel they're not welcome in the conversation. If you don't want to make a move, you're not a bad person. I understand if you want to just be very deliberate, very, you know, pragmatic. I get it. I'm saying you have to make the right move. You don't make a Blake Griffin move. You don't do something stupid. You don't do something that makes you an 8 seed for the next 2 years. You do something with a player that fits what you want now, what you want in 2 years. God willing, they're signed long enough, what you want in 4 years. Cam Johnson would be that.
Yeah.
It's a player I wanted in free agency. Shoots the three, length, defense, low ego, high output. And he's on a god-awful Nets team.
Mike, I don't think it's a coincidence that once he left the Suns got worse. Suns didn't have that type of player because he's a gritty type of guy that goes out there and just does it game in and game out. You don't have to worry about load management because he's in there trying to win games. I like that.
It's looking an idea.
You got the Cavs, your Celtics, the Knicks, who they just beat, Pacers, Magic. And then you're at the Bucks, Heat, Pistons, Hawks. So, yeah.
And by the way, remember something now. Nets are going to trade Cam Johnson. Sounds like Atlanta's going to trade DeAndre Hunter. The Heat are trading Jimmy Butler. When Pat Riley's up there with a PowerPoint presentation on what a butthole you are and why you're suspended, I'm pretty sure you're getting traded. He's already suspended for 7 games. Guys, you're openly talking about the bottom falling out in the East. So the Pistons are going to make the playoffs.
Right.
It's a question of, do you believe now would be the right time versus later? I'm not going to yell and scream either way. I think they're going to make the playoffs. But I think when a player is coming into his own like this, it's worth a conversation. And I'm sure this will be twisted and manipulated and misconstrued as somehow we demanded a trade, which we did not. I've asked a question. I see both sides of it. I wouldn't mind the Pistons making a few calls. Make the right move. Don't make any move. Make the right move.
If you can make a trade, I mean, you have the cap space. You could do what a lot of other teams can't. So
trade the Swedish kid you got in a one and go get Cam. 248-539-90. So what is it? Bobby Clinton or whatever. Take him, take a first, go get Cam Johnson. I don't know. 248-539-9797. We'll get with the people. I'd say we'd get with Kenny, but he's opted out until 3 o'clock. He hates the NBA. Rico Beard.
Kenny's watching Mexican hockey.
Exactly. That day. The 16 Nations Cup, the NHL CBI. Just fantastic. Wednesday, we are here. We are ready to rock. We have lots to do. We're going to get to Lions a couple different ways. There is momentum with Ben Johnson trending away from the team. We'll talk about it. It could be a surprising destination. And I also have what I think is the root of all evil with college football. And I need to see if Rico agrees, disagrees, or just simply doesn't give an F. Also, congratulations to Rico Beard. We're not going to talk about why, but I'm just proud of you, and I want you to know that. All right, so.
I will walk out of here.
Busting your balls. Relax. Take it easy. Wow. Wow, Rico's not happy.
I will walk out of here.
I was just congratulating you on you look great today.
It's a preemptive. You. I don't think I had to worry about Candy.
Rico will be operating the melting moment stand at the Breslin tonight. Okay, congrats. Now listen, let's move forward. David has a question, and I don't really like starting shows this way, but David is like, look, I'm not going to tell you about it, but I have something I have to ask you to start the show. If you know me, you know I don't like surprises. Just say what you got to say and let's just keep it moving. Well, David wanted to get all cute today. And he's got his fashion glasses on. So I don't know what to expect, but I'm willing to listen. What is it you want to ask? And I'm going to take Rico's approach. If this is uncouth, I'm going to walk up out of here.
Okay. No, not uncouth at all. At least I don't think so. So I haven't really been saying anything to anybody. I mean, you're not my doctor, so
Jesus.
We don't need to say anything to
you. Are
you
about to make this heavy?
No, not about to make it heavy, but... I for the last 6 months, I just have not been able to sleep, meaning I've been going to sleep at like 3 o'clock in the morning on a pretty regular occasion and then getting right back up at six to take my son. It's just been a struggle, man. And
is that why your performance is suffering?
I've been looking some things up and I'm thinking of going to the gummies to help me sleep. I think I need something. I need something to help, man.
Oh my God. This is
I need it. Oh, I need a dong bong or something.
No. Hold on a minute. That's not... You've lost Rico. Wait a minute.
I should have left.
Hey, you want to go back in time about 90 seconds? Hold on. Now, I'm happy to take you through this, but wait a second now. Because what I'm not going to do is have your uncle showing up at my house with both of his bow ties all pissed at me.
See, that's the part that I worry about with this. I don't want to be... In a state. I don't. Right.
People, here's what we got to do. People, help me with this, because I know where this is going to go, Rico. Okay, David, first of all, there has to be, people have to shift their mindset with what we look at as drugs or medicine. Mm-hmm. All right? You're not smoking the toad here. Right. You know, you're not doing DMT. You are taking a weed gummy to go to sleep. How is that different than melatonin? How is it different than if you had gone and gotten a prescription for Ambien?
So you're not, basically Dave is not trying to become Snoop.
No, it's a different, because you're not taking that type of gun.
Right.
David's not going to come in here and be like, oops.
Preemptive strike. I'm just saying, like.
I'm having number five.
Yeah. You know what? Let's order some Taco Bell.
Well, David, all right. David, what do you know about it?
Not much. I've been looking up a little bit, just
First of all, I can bring it to you. Second of all, here's what I would say. This is how it works with weed gummies to go to sleep. I can't speak to the Evan Jenkins slot machine gummies. That's a whole different vibe.
I like Evan in Vegas on those.
I do too. Even though he's our producer and we could get knocked off the air at any moment, I don't even care. Like, have as many as you like. But the sleepy gummies, here's how this is going to work. This is after the kids go to bed. This is after. Literally, the only thing you should be doing after taking this is if you want to brush your teeth.
Okay.
This is after you kiss your wife, or in your case, you just can't stop. The point
so
is.
So when I get home from work, I shouldn't just, all right, let me take it.
No,
let's go.
No.
Okay.
No. This is in bed.
Well, if you hate your family.
Right. This is in bed Dracula mode. You're in bed. I don't know what you're doing. You know, I don't want to get involved in your world where there's a kid every 9 months. I don't know. But good night, honey. Game over. Have a great night. Lights out. Gummy.
But there's different levels to what you get,
and I'm
going to
help you through it. The general packaging is going to be 20 milligrams of gummy. You do not want to take the whole thing on first rip. You're going to get yourself some real problems, and we'll see you next Tuesday. What I would suggest is cut the gummy in thirds. Now, they used to be 10 milligrams, and you could just bite the gummy in half, 5 milligrams, good night. Perfect starter pack. But just view it like three pieces. Start and just cut a third. And go to sleep.
How long does it take?
Me? I'm out in 10 minutes. But David, the gummies that you're going to buy, they're all going to have like sleep logos on there, or counting sheep, or a crescent moon, and they're indica. That's it. Indica in the couch.
That's what
That was Evan was like, just remember, in the couch.
But what I would say is, here's the deal. Do not take too much to start. Go slow with it. You'll find a comfort zone. You will build up a tolerance at a certain point, and you're going to bump it up again. But what I don't think you should be judged for in the church, this is my problem with religion, you're going to have a bunch of old-ass ladies up there down at Tireman. Mm. Oh, well, the pastor's a drug addict.
I don't think they're listening, so I think I'm good.
That is not how this works.
You come past a Snoop.
Right. Oh, look, it's Snoop-a-loop-a-doop-a. Mm-hmm. No. But David, here's what I would do. I will bring some to you Friday. I think you should try this on the weekend, because you may have a reaction where Papa Bear may be out for a full 8 hours.
Okay.
So is this like youngest child related, or you're just up?
I'm just enough of being a father. Don't you get it?
No, I'm just up, man. My mind can't stop after a game. I'm not like, oh, the game's over, I'm ready to go to sleep. No, I'm looking things up. I'm trying to see. Listening to press conferences, and then it's 3 o'clock in the morning.
Do you know what happens when you take these? That all goes away.
Okay, that's what I need.
The other thing that has always helped me ever since I really started prioritizing sleep. David, there's different techniques, and whether it's breathing techniques or what you're doing with your mind, you combine a gummy with a technique and you're out. It's game over. 10 minutes, you're done.
And you won't
wake up. You're out.
Yeah.
It's game over. You wake up the next morning. I'm telling you, I'm happy to bring them.
I will wake up the next morning.
Yeah, David, okay? You're not doing crack. It's a weed gummy, and it's designed to go to sleep.
What'd you just say?
I said, okay, Whitney. I didn't say take it in the bathtub.
Take the whole thing and bye-bye.
Yeah, David, here's 100 milligrams in a bathtub with a plugged-in toaster. Probably not going to work. Are you serious about this?
About taking it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I am.
He is. He's been talking about this for a while. I didn't think we would take it to the air, but yes.
Why not?
I talked to Kenny about it.
Because I was just like, David,
but there's nothing. Look at Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson
owns a bunch of stores. Right.
Listen, there's weed to have a good time. I don't mess with that. That's not for me. I don't need altered state at this point in my life. But to go to sleep, yeah, because I don't want to have to take Z-Quil. I don't want to have to take melatonin. So I will not take Ambien.
So you're out like a light for like 8 hours?
Game over.
Okay. So like you wouldn't take one to go on a plane?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Because I'm telling you, that thin air and that little condom in the sky, I would never add substances to that.
No, you remember when I had the guy out, had the seizure? Yeah, I think he had overdosed on the gummies.
Well, and then you tried to take his seat because he was in a Comfort Plus.
Well, he was gone at that point.
Yeah, you're like, tag him and bag him. Can daddy have this seat?
Scoot over. I want to take him. I want to sit here now.
I'm like, well, technically nobody's sitting in the seat.
The guy's dead.
Everybody was like, well, sure.
So listen, can I, if I have strayed, or if you agree with what I'm saying, can I get the Weed Gummy Army to give us a buzz here? We're going to get to the Lions, but this is David's question. I think David should not allow the church to pressure him or make him feel like a pariah. No, David, I don't even view it as drugs. I just view it as an herbal supplement to sleep. All right, you're not Lamar Odom taking off-brand boner pills. It's a weed gummy. You're going to go to sleep. It's great.
And that's all I need. I just need sleep, man. Regular nightly sleep.
And how long have you been not sleeping?
He said 6 months.
It's been 6 months. It's probably been longer than that, but... Yeah.
Jesus, man. Yeah, I would take the weed gummy before I ever went to the doctor and got a prescription for any of the poison they want to put in you.
See, that's what I don't want to do, the Ambien. I do have family members that take it. I don't want to do that.
That's the stuff you hallucinate, right?
That's what Tiger was taking before he was banging pancake waitresses.
That was Mel Gibson.
The phone call.
Yeah, He would just do that and turn racist.
I wouldn't. Okay. You imagine it? David just starts with all of his anti-white rhetoric. Right. David sounds like he has Tourette's in the middle of the night.
And Kenny, here's what I...
Kenny Cotts, people. So look, my vote is yes. And if you want, I'll bring you some stuff. And David, you got to be an adult. Don't. I'll even handwrite a note on instructions. You'll be fine.
I got nothing for you, David. I don't use it.
Now, David, there is a type of gummy you can take. Like if you have anxiety, or you get like the Sunday scaries, if you will.
No, I don't do that.
You know,
are the Sunday scaries?
Hey, just the thought of coming in here.
Oh.
No. You're just like, you know, there is that. I mean, you can go whatever level you want. There is a wide breadth of outcomes before you go Evan slot machine. Right. That's the end of the rainbow.
See, Evan makes it look so fun. I'm like, Evan, he's like, I can't try it, Evan, but you make it look fun.
You also have to understand the sheer volume of weed.
Right.
Evan can
ingest. It's stages. He goes in stages, and I'm like, take a walk with him on the strip, and you see the different stages come out as the walk progresses.
It's a lot like DiCaprio and Wolf of Wall Street with the drool stage and all that. Yes. That's Evan's journey. It's just slightly different. But listen to me. I'll get you taken care of, okay? I think it is the best thing I've done for sleep, truly. Now, if you want to go messing around with your bed and stuff, it's up to you and the missus. Leave me out of that.
What about the blanket you told me about?
Oh, the weighted blanket?
Yeah, you tried
that? Yeah, but with the weed gummy, you don't even need it.
I don't think I want to do that. I'd rather do the gummy than the weighted blanket.
You're going to be fine.
I don't want to feel like I'm restricted.
David, you're going to be fine. I'm going to get you hooked up. We'll talk to the people about it here for a minute. We'll get to Ben Johnson and some momentum, apparently, with an NFL team to land him. We are going to talk about the Lions because I had a couple conversations with buddies of mine. And the way they're watching this game is a little bit strange to me. Come to find out, Kenny's the exact same. We're going to talk about that at 3 o'clock. And I want to discuss the true embodiment of evil as it relates to college football and see if Rico will bless this opinion. We got a lot to do today, but David, I'm actually happy you sideswiped the start of the show. I am a big proponent of this.
Well, David's a weed head, guys. There we go.
248. Next. Greater Life Church. Pastor's a drug addict. 248-539-9797. You're fine, David. It's not even drugs. It's ridiculous. 3 o'clock, and a question that I think everyone in this town will be able to have an opinion on. So the Lions are in a Super Bowl draft, in case you live in a cave. The Lions are fantastic. But it's the other three teams in concert that drive this question. So the Tigers had this cosmic playoff appearance. The Red Wings are trying to get their season back online, and they're at 500-ish. Okay, so at least they're in the mix. A lot of work to do, but in the mix. The Pistons, 2 games over .500 in the 7 seed. Look, when you were 3-37 at this point last year and you're 21-19 this year, that's something. So this was the question I had. And it is all about what you define as being back. But are Detroit sports back? Question mark. You know, there was a time this was one of the, if not the, best sports city in America, where the Tigers were competing for the World Series, the Pistons were routinely in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Red Wings were a consistent Stanley Cup threat, and the Lions were 3 out of 4 ain't bad. The point is, are we back? And it's okay if you say no, but I want you to understand the backdrop. Mm-hmm. For about the last decade, of the towns in America, not the horse bleep towns that have like a pity team or two teams, of the four sport towns, the only real sport cities in America, Detroit had the lowest winning percentage of all. I mean, we were a morbid like 355 over a 10-year period. It was dreadful. Are we back? And if we're not, what has to happen for you to say it? Now, Rico, while you're in a ponderous state, mm-hmm. Kenny Cott is nibbling on the microphone. So I'd like to just, I'm going to go to him for a moment here.
So in my lifetime, when we say, oh, Detroit sports is back, we're here, this is a sports town, everything's great. Three of the four teams have been in the playoffs. Usually the Tigers, the Pistons, the Red Wings, the Lions always miss. No problem. So I think to be back, either the Red Wings or the Pistons have to make the playoffs. Because that would mean in the last calendar year you had the Tigers in the playoffs, you had the Lions making a Super Bowl drive, and you had one of the two other winter sports teams in the playoffs. If three out of four are in the playoffs, Detroit is back. Okay. That's my criteria.
That's the Kenny Cott criteria. David, Detroit sports back? Question mark.
See, I would already say they're back. Two is for me. 2 out of 4. We had 2 already.
Shocking the pastor with the lowest standards in the room. Stunning.
So I would say that, yes, we are already back because you have the threat of the other teams there. All I needed was 2. 2 made it. We're back.
Rico, now we come back to you. Are you still ponderous or
no,
do you want
to
offer
us
an opinion?
No, I'm while I respect what these two said, I disagree with them.
He called you both bitches.
No, I didn't.
Oh, man.
No, woo! I would say they're trending that way, but no, they're not back. Because when you look at Detroit sports in the 80s and in the 90s and in the early 2000s, one thing was true in each of those decades, a championship. You don't have one. You can just have playoff teams, but playoffs is just okay. The reasons why Detroit felt like it was one of the better cities, because you can point to the Tigers, to the Wings, to the Pistons. And with the Wings and the Pistons, there were multiple championships. So it wasn't just a one-off type of thing, right, where it was just this glorious 84 Tiger team. They actually had little mini dynasties going on.
I hate this, that I agree with you on something. Way more fun when we argue. But
I think he just called me a bitch.
It's plausible. So, hold on. I think I'm even a level above that. Is I need two teams that are actually threatening for championships. Now, with the Lions, we all agree. But here's your problem. The Tigers aren't a World Series team. The Pistons, God love them. Like, this is a great story. Come on, man. They ain't beating nobody in the playoffs. I hate to break it to you. And the Red Wings, they're probably not going to make it. And if they did, once again, Columbus cannon fodder. So I would say there's still, I need one of the other teams to not just make it, but be, I hate saying relevant, but like, you know what I mean, is when teams make the playoffs.
Competitive.
Yeah, right off the rip, half the teams get thrown in a wood chipper. You got to get out of that line and get into the one that you don't get turned into jello.
Yeah, you need to have a team where Detroit sports team, whether it's the Pistons, Tigers, Wings, or even the Lions, are consistently in that top four.
They're threatening.
Where they're in that final four in their division, where it's like, okay, you know what? If everything breaks correctly, they could win this thing. And yeah, I think they're trending that way. But right now, no. I need to see some titles, because the titles is what made Detroit what it was when they were feeling good about themselves, was that we had parades. You don't have a parade for just winning a division. You don't have a parade for winning a playoff series.
Wednesday, February 12th.
No, but I'm
saying.
Or 11th,
whatever it is. Middle of the week, that week after the Super Bowl. All right, let me mark that parade in so people are going to be happy. I don't want to deal with angry people, but I'm with you. The other teams have to do more. Here's the question. I know this is a lot to unpack. So if you're listening, it's really, Not about, well, who's right? 248. I don't know any of us are right. You may say we are back. For the last decade, all these teams were regrettable. And now I have a football team and F the other teams. I'm not mad at your perspective if all you care about is the NFL. But as a city, what if you're not back, what'll get you back? Uh-oh, he's pointing at me again. Hold on, Kenny.
You're back?
Stop pointing at me.
I'm pointing up.
It just feels so judgmental when you do that.
No, it just means I think at least I have a good point. I don't know.
It's scary.
You're back when your expectations for the other three teams around are the same that you have for the Lions. That if you don't win it all,
it's a failure.
You're disappointed, and it's a failure.
Okay.
If you're happy about what your team does when they end the season, you're not back. You're back when we didn't win it. Damn it.
Yes. All right. So then here's then the way he said it, Kenny, here's where I'll land my plane. Chasing at least two championships, two sports, right? Like, I'm chasing championships in two of my sports, and at least one of my other whatever teams is making the playoffs. Three of four, with two of them being legitimately chasing something other than a punch in the face. Yes, Kenneth.
I get the feeling, though, that, man, if we win a Super Bowl this year, I'm going to have a real hard time not saying we're back.
Because that has
been something that in my lifetime, everybody's always said that will never happen. Stop dreaming. You're an idiot. They're never going
to
be a Super Bowl.
You won't have to say it because the world will end. I'm convinced when
and then
happens,
the meteor comes down.
Right. The clock will hit zero, and it's going to be a clip from one of Rico's silly kids movies where some space alien has like a ray gun and ends Earth.
See, I think because it's the Lions and because they've never been there and the Tigers have, but it would have that feeling of 84 of, wow, wait, are we really the best team in baseball? Yes, you were. And when the Tigers won, it just seemed like, okay, when's the meteor going to hit? Well, it never did, but they never won another one again. So I get what Kenny is saying. I think for a lot of people, they won't care. But for the city of Detroit, like I said, the beauty of the 90s and the 2000s especially was the Wings and the Pistons kind of were going back and forth. And if they didn't win, they were in the finals or they were in the conference finals. So every year you felt as if...
Is that truly what it was in the 90s? Whoa. Because the 90s started with the Pistons, and right. Then they faded, and then it was the Wings, and it was no other team.
Yeah, but okay. The Lions were on an every other year of getting in.
So we're
and
including
there were,
that.
Gotcha. There were a couple of seasons where they had very high hopes. I understand where you're going. Now, the problem in that was the Tigers.
Correct. They gave us nothing.
Right. And then it was because
Camara-Barty.
It just seemed like the city could only support three teams. There was always that one team like, could you just do your homework? But no, they didn't. But yes, the early 90s, you had the Isaiah Thomas and those Pistons teams. Then they fell off.
Then the Judd Bushler era, which I know you celebrate.
Grant Hill.
Jerome Williams. Yeah,
the alternators.
Harry Mills.
Don Reed.
The alternators. I'm telling you, that's it right there. Yeah, Don Reed. From?
Georgetown.
Oh, I knew you'd get it.
Not bad, right? Not bad. 248-539-9797. We'll get with the people coming up next. Is Detroit sports back? And if there's more work to do, what is it? 97.1. Ah, it's 3 o'clock. We welcome in, and I'd like to note TJ dressed like an adult today, a fashion quarter zip. He is ready for the divisional round. Next week, it'll be a suit.
We'll save that one for a couple weeks.
Very exciting. Yeah. So
next week, you get a button down.
Before we get into this, do you want the TJ Lang critical question now, or would you like it after the football conversation? There's no pressure either
you kinda,
way.
You kind of tease. I'd like it now, but you kind of teased me something that Kenny did.
Okay. So I've said to Rico while you were out, I said, Kenny has sunk to a new low. And I said, your perspective as a former NFL offensive lineman will be valuable. To which TJ naturally is like, oh, what is this, a fat joke? I'm like, no. It's actually a credit to who you are now versus when you were a player and you could eat like 10,000 calories a day. So I just want to know, even at the depths of your forced weight that you had to carry as a pro, would you ever or have you ever heard of a teammate having a hot dog roller in their living room?
Whoa. In the living room?
Because this man does.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, I was not expecting that.
And mind you, this is an apartment, TJ. Do you know what's next to the living room? His kitchen.
You have to love hot dogs to just be sitting on the couch. And what do you do? Just sit on the couch and just reach over and just pick them off the roller?
Absolutely.
Man, can you do like taquitos on that thing,
too? Taquitos, mini tacos? Right. You can warm the buns underneath?
I'm kind of into it.
Hold on. Hold on.
You got to love hot dogs to have your own roller, though.
Absolutely.
Man.
But as a player, that would even be lower than what you would stoop to. You would never do it now.
No.
What happens?
That's one of a kind. That is.
What happens if you brought home a hot dog roller?
And put it in the living room?
He said, Laura, here's the deal.
Oh, you know what would happen.
Yeah, you'd be dead.
Yeah, that thing. Hey, Mike. One of us would be at the curb.
Hey, Mike. Hey, buddy. Could you open up the door?
Yeah. You got space.
TJ, did you bring a hot dog roller with you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, does it smell?
Well, the thing about having the apartment is it's very easy to get rid of the smell. You open up a door, you light a candle, it's gone in 2 minutes.
I needed you to weigh in on
this. I kind of like the idea of it, but
it seems like something like a rookie would do. Like somebody would do it as a joke, and everybody would go over to that house or that apartment if you were an NFL player. But you wouldn't do it yourself.
Well, it's like a bachelor move, you know? Like just but convenience. Like there is no kitchen. Like if you're a single guy, like there is no kitchen, there is no living room, there is no bed. Like everything's just mixed together. But Kenny, you're not a single guy, are you?
I'm not a single guy, no. It's been a process getting the lady to put up with this, I got to tell you.
He may be a single guy soon.
Can we just talk about the levels of laziness? I mean, Kenny, you can have a hot dog ready in a minute.
It's not the first hot dog that's the problem. It's the second and third ones. Then I got to go cook them again.
It's not like
right
you got to keep an eye on
them. Right. It's not like Kenny's making the sauce.
Smoking a brisket, dude.
And you got to mind the stove here. Right. Scratch-made biscuits by Kenny.
I got to get up at 4 a.m. just to light the smoker.
I got to keep an eye on this.
Got to check the turkey. So I just, we want to
keep the temperature at 250.
I mean, listen, you know, you played a position where guys in the NFL, like we all know it, you're forced to carry extra LBs, and some guys take it too far. Like Mekhi Becton almost ate himself out of the league. And none of them had a hot dog roll in their living room.
No, I doubt it. And hot dogs are, like you said, pretty simple to make.
You think?
Okay. Now, did you ask why the living room? Like, do you not have space in the kitchen
for it? Oh, there's plenty of space in the kitchen. We got it in the midst of football, like the depths of football playoffs. So I was like, all right.
You're not missing a second.
I don't want to miss a second. I want to have it all ready here. I don't want to have to make trips back and forth. It's all good.
What are the odds there's a microwave sitting right next to it?
There's a microwave in the kitchen.
In the living room.
Wow. No, he's talking about bringing a cooler in the living room with him. I mean, basically, we said, why don't you just cut a hole in the couch and put a bedpan in, you lazy bastard? You want to see?
Put a little bucket in the corner.
Here, you want to see if we can jerry-rig the plumbing? We'll get a bidet on the couch for you. You can just bleep yourself mid-game.
Making a lot of sense, Mike. You're making a lot of sense.
This is... TJ, we're going to get to real football discussion, but I'm sorry. You understand why we wanted your opinion.
Yeah.
This is a disgrace.
Now, did you buy this thing or was it a gift?
This was a Christmas gift from a relative.
Okay. I mean,
it's been in the living room. TJ, it's been in the living room since Christmas. Like, he doesn't need to, like, put it away and break it out for the game. It's just a permanent spot. It's a permanent part of the living room.
Which we asked, how often are you eating hot dogs? Like,
that's what I'm saying. That has to be a healthy part of your diet if you have a hot dog roller in the kitchen.
I have one hot dog a year. It's at Saratoga. It's like, hey, I'm home and I want to go to Shake Shack and have a hot dog at the track. I have one a year. Kenny, are you eating one per 12 hours? Like, who did?
What are the odds? Are there someone on the roller right now?
No.
Do they just keep spinning 24/7?
No, not like 7-Eleven.
Kenny's operating a Bucky's gas station.
I got some taquitos. I got some hot dogs.
Just rolling, baby.
Kenny, I think you may go ahead and toss that hot
he
dog.
He gets
out.
Home every day. Oh, I've been waiting on it. I've been thinking about that hot dog rolling all day. Mm-hmm.
Do you call your girlfriend and tell her to put the dogs on the roller when you leave the office?
If she was home while I was leaving, it would be a serious consideration. But no, I have not done that yet. No.
We also set the over-under.
He's got to eat a lot of hot dogs, man.
Bro, your commitment.
He's got to eat a lot of hot dogs.
Don't look at me when you're saying it. I told you, it's a once-a-year thing, and it's the dead of summer, and I enjoy myself. This guy, I couldn't fathom eating hot dogs on a regular basis.
I can only 5 days a week.
So can I ask a question?
No.
Is that more sloth and gluttonous behavior than anything you've seen an offensive lineman pull off?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, now, good to know.
I mean, I don't, like I said, I don't hate the idea. I mean, if you're watching the games, but why wouldn't you just break it out on game day?
Correct.
You know? Like have some place to put it, and then, hey, game day, well, I don't want to leave the couch. Let's get the mini fridge in here. Let's get the
TJ, the apartment is so big that he has to. I
don't want to limit my hot dog. I don't want to limit my hot dog consumption to just game days. If I want a hot dog on a Tuesday, I'll have a hot dog on a Tuesday.
So what? But what are you watching on a Tuesday night that you can't take your eyes off the TV, that you can't get up and go to the kitchen to grab a hot dog?
He's watching the Wings, I guess. Watching the Wings, listening to the neighbors.
That's what I'm saying.
Wings play on Tuesdays and Thursdays a lot of times.
There's, you eat hot dogs.
Eat hot dog
you
while eat the hot neighbors dogs. Are doing their symphony. Yeah.
I do have a question for you.
There's
what,
no way
what about
he doesn't.
The condiments?
Eat, there's no way he doesn't eat hot dogs less than 5 days a week. There's no way.
Why do you continue to look
there's
at
no
us?
There's no way.
You look at the criminal there.
He's denying it, but
what about the condiments? They just sit there with
no,
next to it.
No. This is why I wanted to employ the cooler, but they're in the fridge.
So you have to walk past the roller.
You have little packets of condiments, so you don't have to put them in the fridge.
I actually considered that.
Hold on. So you still have to get up and get the condiments?
Little packets so he doesn't have to go to the fridge.
What is he doing?
Takes less time to do that than cook a hot dog. No. I'll tell you that. I like how upset you are about this, David.
You can leave it in the kitchen.
You live your life. I'll live my life, all right? If I want to eat a hot dog on a Tuesday...
So here's the deal.
This is not hot dog slander, but that's just...
CJ, I was really hoping you'd be on my side with this
I dig the idea of having one.
I'll take it. It's more support than I've gotten from any of these other people.
There's a separation. There's a wide gap between idealistic and realistic. Idealistically,
it sounds
wow,
pretty cool.
What a dream state. Realistically, no.
Plug it in, it's right there.
Hot dog roller. And then you start thinking like... Wait, you got a hot dog roller?
Like if I went to somebody's house and I'm like, oh, that's cool, you know?
They break it out for the game.
But it said you fetch your own house.
Do you want to see a picture?
Of the hot dog? Kinda, yeah.
There is visual evidence of the hot dog roller.
There's a reason why it's called a kitchen appliance.
Okay.
Put it in the kitchen.
Mommy and daddy are fighting.
And this is perfect because now we get to go to football. You understand why we wanted to ask you?
Yeah, of course.
Because I figured you saw some pretty gnarly stuff
as an
old lineman.
We could spend the rest of the hour on this if we have to, but I know we got to get to football. But
it's whatever people want. It made me.
Hey, we had somebody saying this is a bye week for the Lions. Let's just talk hot dogs.
There's definitely a popcorn maker next to it. Probably a slushy machine on the other side.
TJ's got big ideas here. I like that.
How do I say this without sounding insulting?
Too late for that. You've already called me a sloth and told me to cut a hole in my couch.
Is that the first time you've ever...
All I said is you're one step from a bedpan.
I think that's the first time you've ever had that thought, Mike.
No, it's not.
How do I say this without being insulting?
Really hard.
I don't want to be too mean about this, but you're a slob.
You're coming off insulting. This is the first time that thought has ever crossed his mind.
Yeah, progress.
You're making progress.
You know what the hell it all is? I'm going to say it as mean as I want next.
You be curious.
I'm going to be curious.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.